So friends, pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, in this season of preparation, with all the busyness that comes with this season, by your Spirit, prepare us in heart. Help us find those times and places to pause and to reflect and to welcome your Son into the world and into our hearts. And as we dive into your word now, Father, renew us in hope that is firmly grounded in you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, between now and Christmas, we are launching into a message series that is based on one of my favorite movies, all-time movies, It's a Wonderful Life. And this movie was directed by Frank Capra, and it came out in 1946. That's 72 years ago. So some of the references in the movie are definitely, like, really dated. But the core message of this movie, I think, is one that is so true, a message about the true riches of life in relationships. And I believe that's a biblical message, and so it fits so well with what we're about this season. So if you know the movie, Jimmy Stewart plays George Bailey, who is this young man growing up in this small town of Bedford Falls, a young man with big dreams, like dreams of financial success and world travel, dreams that are going to take him beyond this little town of Bedford Falls. And through a series of events, including the death of his father and a business opportunity for his brother Harry, George is left with the responsibility for the family business, which is this building and loan that is marginally profitable. And so he stays in Bedford Falls. He manages the building and loan, and he marries his childhood friend, Mary, and they have four children together. And as time goes by, George's frustration grows as his dream of escaping Bedford Falls gradually dies. And George's Uncle Billy misplaces $8,000, which doesn't sound like a whole lot. I mean, it's a fair amount, but back then, 1946, is a lot of money, right? And it's enough money to send this struggling building and loan into default and possibly bring charges against George. And the movie's villain, Mr. Potter, tells George that he is a failure, that he's no good for the people around him, and because of his life insurance, he is worth more dead than alive. And so, angry and afraid, George lashes out at the people closest to him, and he runs away. So where in your life, where are you giving up hope that things will ever get better? Is there a situation or a relationship that it just seems like it's not going to improve, it's not going to get any different, any better? So you heard the lesson from Isaiah that Tracy read a few minutes ago. The prophet Isaiah was sent by God to speak to God's people in the southern kingdom of Judah at a time when the nation was in decline, when it looked to them like things were not going to get any better. See, the southern kingdom, when the northern kingdom had been threatened by Assyria, they asked for the southern kingdom's help, but Ahab did not help them. And Assyria swept over the northern kingdom, took all the people into captivity. And Isaiah comes to the people of Judah, the southern kingdom, and he says, you know, you saw what happened to them. Well, the same thing is going to happen to you. You are going to be conquered and taken into captivity. In Isaiah 5, verse 30, he says, in that day, your enemies will roar over you like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks at the land, there is only darkness and distress. Even the sun will be darkened by the clouds. So have you ever experienced a time of darkness like that, when it was impossible to see a future that even looked worth living? Maybe like George Bailey, it was a dream that withered and died. Maybe you felt like a failure and just felt like the people around you would be better off without you than with you. Maybe it was the death of someone who was your life and your hope. As Christmas approaches, God is speaking a word of life and hope, a word, a light that shines into the darkness. Isaiah says to God's people who face this time of darkness ahead, he says in Isaiah 11:1, he says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. Sort of a strange image, but what he's really saying there is, Jesse was the father of King David, right? And so he's saying from the house and line of David, there is a rescuer who is coming, and he will come from the family of Israel's greatest king. A rescuer is coming for you. Verse 4, with righteousness he will judge the needy, and with justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. He will be a mighty rescuer who will make everything right again. Everything that just seems like it can never be made right, he will come and he'll make it all right again. Verse 6, the wolf will lie down with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. For us, for the people of Isaiah's day, probably just a curious reference, but for us, knowing the story of Christmas, we imagine that little child who comes as king, right? And Isaiah says, he will usher in a time of peace. Verse 10, in that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Instead of people divided and scattered as the nation of Israel has become, people will be united under this rescuer and will find rest and peace and hope in him. So Jesus comes into our world to give his life for you and me on the cross, so that whatever is wrong between you and I and God is made right by his life poured out, by the price he paid. And because of that, he looks at you and me and he doesn't see a failure. He sees his child, dearly loved. His child. There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore, and nothing you can do to make him love you any less. You and I, we belong to Him. And He invites you and me to rest in that love and to rest in His promise that He will make a way forward. And He invites you and me in what looks like an impossible situation, maybe. He invites you and me to hope, not in a certain outcome, right? But to put our hope in Him. To put our hope in that life that unites us with Him and with each other forever. Meaning that there's always a tomorrow. And there's always a new beginning. In fact, God specializes in new beginnings where we have a hard time seeing a way forward. So as we light our first candle on the Advent wreath, God is speaking a word of light and hope that breaks into the darkness. Hope that took shape for the Israelites hundreds of years later after Isaiah's prophecy, and hope that took shape for us 2,000 years ago in the birth of Jesus, and hope that unites us with those Israelites in a life and in a destiny and in a family that is forever. And hope that is ours by faith, no matter what our circumstances. So for George Bailey, hope came ironically through his darkest wish, his wish that he had never been born. There is this angel, Clarence, who comes alongside of him and shows him a picture of his community and his family in a world where George never existed. And in his despair, George comes to see the true riches of life, not in financial success, not in escaping Bedford Falls, but in the love that surrounds him and in the impact that he has made on so many people in a life that is truly a wonderful life. So where are you giving up hope that things will ever get better? God shows us at Christmas that our best hope lies not in somehow changing our circumstances or changing a person, but our best hope lies in the love of God poured out for us on the cross, making you and me His child, making us family forever. And that is hope. It changes us, right? And I love that last scene because George's circumstances didn't really change, right? He still lived in Bedford Falls and he still managed that savings and loan, that building and loan. He changed. His eyes were open to see the love and the support and the riches all around him. So maybe right where we are today, God is giving us the opportunity to do the same for someone else this Christmas, to open their eyes. Someone who's desperate, someone who's having a hard time seeing a way forward, to open their eyes to the love and the care and the support that is around them. As we take up our offering, This being the first weekend of the month, there's a second offering, and it's for our Christmas miracle gift that we're gathering to make a difference in the lives of people in our community. So again, while we take up our offering, take a look at this video.